The Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher.
Hi, my name is Jim Pittman, and it's my privilege to bring you the message of grace. We would like to look tonight at the Apostle Paul and the ministry that the risen Lord and Savior gave to him from heaven's glory. We would like to start out in Galatians, the first chapter, and the first verse, just to establish that Paul was an apostle. Paul didn't get his apostleship or his revelation from putting his head in a hat for a certain period of time, but he got it from the risen Savior Jesus Christ. And it says in Galatians 1:1, "Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead." And now we would like to start in Acts, the 26th chapter, and the first verse. And it says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. I thank myself happy, King Agrippa, this day, because I shall answer for myself before thee of all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth at the beginning among my own nation at Jerusalem knoweth all the Jews which knew me from the beginning, if they would but testify that after the most strict sect of our religion I lived a Pharisee, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise of God made unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serve God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing also I did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And being exceedingly mad against them, I punished them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking and saying unto me in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of those things which thou hast seen, and of those things into which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, the Gentiles, and to turn them, the Gentiles, from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they, the Gentiles may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Paul says, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Paul tells us in Romans 11 and 13, for I speak unto you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. 1 Corinthians 9, 16 and 17, Paul says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. And Paul says in Romans 1, 16 and 17, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Whereunto I was appointed a preacher and a teacher to fulfill the word of God. And I would like to use an illustration here. The Lord from heaven's glory gave Paul the revelation to fulfill the word of God. And that's what Paul does. He says, even the mystery which was kept secret from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach and teach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus Christ. According, Paul says, to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Paul says in Ephesians 3, 8 and 11, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in Christ, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Paul says in 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 16, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who before was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me, not in me second, not in me fourth, fifth, but that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern unto them which should hereafterwards believe on Him to life everlasting. That art to tell you that Jesus Christ, the ascended Christ that went back to heaven's glory through the Apostle Paul, was starting something brand new, and it was called the Age of Grace. And He was making Paul an example, and He was using Paul that we might pattern ourselves after what He took and made out of Paul, and He gave us Paul as an example. Paul says in Galatians 1, 11 and 12, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. He could have very well easily said, for the gospel that was preached of me is not after Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. It's saying the same thing. He said it's not after man, neither by man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And what Paul is saying, that after Jesus Christ taught the 12, went to the cross, and then ascended back into into heaven's glory there. Then when he spoke to Paul on the road to Damascus, he revealed something brand new and glorious to Paul that had been kept secret from before the foundation of the world. And Paul says, you can't find it from Genesis to Malachi and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the early part of Acts. You've got to look into Paul's gospel because it was revealed to the apostle Paul by the risen, glorified Savior Jesus Christ. Paul tells us in Romans 2:16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of man by Jesus Christ, according to, Paul calls it, my gospel. It was the gospel that the Lord had given to the apostle Paul. And therefore, Paul says in Acts 13:38 and 39, therefore be it known unto you, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, Jesus Christ, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Paul says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. He said, whereunto I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. In Ephesians 1:13, he says, in whom also ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Paul tells us in Colossians 2:10, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and powers, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism. We're not talking about the water baptism. We're talking about where Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. It's not a physical baptism, but the Spirit does it. And that's one of the things that God revealed to the apostle Paul. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you not some trespasses, not most of the trespasses, but having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, taking it out of the way and nailing it to His cross. Praise God. Paul tells us in Colossians 2:6-7, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. He tells us in 2 Timothy 2:11-13, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I'd like to say that you are not the one that begun the good work of the free gift of God through the faith of Jesus Christ. It was Jesus Christ that begun that good work, and He'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 5:9, much more then, being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul tells us something of this love of Jesus Christ toward us in Philippians 2, 6 through 8. Paul says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And then Paul warns us in Colossians 2, 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ, from which some, having turned aside, have swerved unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirmed. What did Paul mean when he said they've turned aside unto vain jangling? I would like to illustrate for you what vain jangling is. That is vain jangling. Each one of these bells has a distinctive sound. And apart from each other, you could even play a tune with them. But when you put them all together, they don't make nothing but vain jangling. And that's the way it is. That's why Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because if you don't rightly divide the word of truth and you mix it all together, you come up with vain jangling. That's why Paul tells us time and time again, and that's why he calls it my gospel, and that's why he says that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And so we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And if you want to know what the risen Savior gave to the Apostle Paul from heaven's glory, you take your Bible and go from Romans to Philemon, and you'll find there that the 13 books that God gave to the Apostle Paul. 1 Timothy
Paul says,
Paul says that we're to look to Jesus Christ for our salvation and to trust in His finished work on the cross of Calvary. Paul says that there are those out there that would preach circumcision. Paul tells us in Acts 15 and 1, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. And he says, to whom we gave space by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. For as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. Paul tells us in Philippians 3, 4 through 10, Paul says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh he hath whereof he may trust in the flesh, I more. I'd like to use an illustration here. Paul says that I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, Paul says that he was blameless. Can you say that? Can you say that you've never broken one of God's laws? Let me go through that again. Paul says if there's anybody out there that thinks that they can trust in their flesh and what they do in their flesh to have a right standing before God, he says that he can do it more than you can, that he can put you down so low that you would never be able to speak again. Paul says, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law. He says, I'm a Pharisee, and I'm sure he had some certificates like this that he could show around and prove it. And he says, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But Paul says, what things were gained to me, those I count lost for Christ. He says, yea, doubtless I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Paul says, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I may live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, even though I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And if you can do something to be right before God, then Jesus Christ wasted His time coming to this planet. It's all for nothing. But praise God, Paul says, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. I can show you the righteousness that Paul had before he came to Jesus Christ. I can show you the righteousness that we threw there in the garbage can. And I can show you your righteousness because I have it right here in this bag. And if you want to see, if you're trusting in what you're doing, if you're trusting in your good works to make you standing right before Jesus Christ on the day of judgment, I want to show you what you're going to stand there with if you think that you're going to be right before God by what you've done. You'll find it in Isaiah, the 64th chapter and the 6th verse. And here is your righteousness. Your righteousness in the sight of God are as filthy rags. And if you want to stand before God on judgment day and say, Lord, you should let me in because look at my righteousness. Look at all that I've done for you. Then you can. But I don't want to stand there on that day. I want to be like the Apostle Paul. When I stand before Jesus Christ, I want to have His righteousness. I want to be trusting in what He done for me on Calvary's cross when He died in my place. Even though He knew that I was no good and low down and was a sinner and was only fit for hell, He still loved me. And even though He was in the form of God, He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, so that I might be able to spend eternity with Him. Today I'm so thankful that I can trust in Jesus Christ. You know, it seems to me just a little strange that if you're working, you're in God's unemployment line. It's just the opposite. Now, if you're working here on this planet, you're not in the unemployment line. But if you're working in God's realm, then you're in the unemployment line, because to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace. But if you're not working and you're trusting in what Jesus Christ done on Calvary's cross, then you're in the body of Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. I would like to say that if you've been trusted today in your works, I would ask that you would quit trusting in your works and trust in what Jesus Christ done on Calvary. You know, Paul tells us that, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and hath called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereof I am made a minister according to the grace of God." Paul says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me." What were some of the sound words that Paul told us to hold fast? He told us that we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Paul tells us that by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Paul tells us that if we trust in our righteousness, that God will have to set us aside because our righteousness is no good in His sight. But I thank God that when He looks at me, that He sees me in His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what Christ did when He went to Calvary. He paid for my sins because I could not pay for my sins. And I thank God and I thank Him for His wonderful and glorious grace. Thank Him for His precious Son and thank Jesus Christ for leaving heaven's glory, as the song says, for such a worm as I. We pray today that you have got something from the message, and we pray that you will read from Romans to Philemon with an open mind and ask God to guide you and direct you and to see the glorious message that God gave to the Apostle Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles, not the 13th Apostle, but the number one Apostle, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern for you and I to pattern ourselves after.
We hope this program has been an eye-opener to you. We are not out to destroy anyone's faith, but to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 313-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 313-778-5032. This program was presented freely to you in cooperation with this local public cable station. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe.